This is City on the Hills podcast. We hope this message becomes a revelation in your heart and will encourage you to live a Christ-centered life. Thanks for checking out our podcast. Here's today's message.
Let's pray. God, we want to thank you that you've got a plan for our lives. We thank you that you've got so much more in our lives and that we do not want to lose our confidence, but we want to embrace everything you have for us, knowing that we need you. And so, Lord, right now as we come to your word, speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends and family, it's my delight today to share with you the last installment of our Don't Lose Your Confidence series. And I believe that God has been doing so much through Hebrews chapter 10. And I want to encourage you to read through that chapter often and to say, God, how can I grow? How can I hold on to this confidence? Not by my might, not by my power, but by your spirit. And the last session is all about perseverance. And so the title of my message is, You and I, You Need to persevere. That's the title of my message. And I remember running the Comrades Marathon. Now, you don't know, if you've never run the Comrades Marathon, the Comrades Marathon is called the Comrades Marathon, meaning that it's not designed for people to do it alone. It's designed for you to have comrades, for other people to run with you. And that's often where people help one another, they care for one another, and they do this together. It's an amazing endurance race of 89 kilometers that I ran just about 15 years ago. I ran this amazing race and I trained for it for months and months. I had to have a special diet. And when I ran it on the day, sadly, the friend that trained with me, Alvain, he had to pull out about 5 kilometers into the race, meaning that I had another 84 kilometers to go on my own. And I remember having to persevere, because running an endurance race like that, many people don't finish because it's so hard, it's so taxing, it's so demanding. And I've learned this. I've learned that when God calls us to something, like Hudson Taylor said, it'll first be impossible. Then it's going to get difficult. And if you cannot persevere through the difficulty, you'll not experience it being done. And I look back at our lives and I look back at some of the things that we've experienced in God. Everything that God called us for was impossible at first. It became difficult. And then God did it. We are living in the fruit of God's supernatural provision and God's supernatural grace. And so when I ran the Comrades on that day, it was an absolutely amazing experience, but it was very challenging at times. And I'm so grateful that I did not do this alone. And there was four major things that stood out for me on that day that I could apply to my walk with God in every single day. I could apply to persevering, because I've learned that you and I need to persevere in order to embrace the promises of God, in order to walk confidently with God, to not lose our confidence. We have to persevere in this confidence. You can't just get it, you got to persevere in it. And so the first thing that I did when I ran the Comrades is Marie and I, she helped me in order to keep on worshiping. I kept on worshiping while I was running. I was meditating on Jesus, I was looking unto Jesus, and I was singing a song that I sang in a church called Lenridge Church on the Sunday before the Comrades, and I just kept on worshiping. And it was in that time of worship when I took my eyes off my pain, because your legs get sore, your body hurts, and it's extremely challenging, and it's hot, and it's difficult, and you feel alone. I remember putting my eyes on Jesus and finding grace and strength as I focused on him. That's the first thing I did. And I want to encourage you, friends, in whatever you go through, if you need to persevere, look unto Jesus. The second thing that I did is I did not try and run 89 kilometers at once. I focused on running 5 kilometers at a time. And so I just had a goal to run the next 5 kilometers. And the way I broke the 5 kilometers up was in 1 kilometer bite-sized little chunks. And so what I did is I've learned that perseverance is not about you and me focusing on doing all at once. It's about us doing the next thing that God has called us to do, obeying in the next season, the next step. Just take one step at a time. The next thing that I did on the Comrades Marathon is I drank and I ate. I drank a lot of water, some Energade, and I ate. Now, I was very apprehensive to eat, but I needed to eat. So I got this amazing sandwich, and some people even gave you some burritos rolls. For those from out of our country, that's an amazing South African delicacy. And I remember eating just little by little, being sustained. And I've learned this. If you want to persevere, you need the water of the Spirit, the life of God, and you need the Word of God. And when you've got the Word of God and the Spirit of God together, that empowers you to persevere. And the last thing, and this is what the Comrades is all about, I've learned that you cannot persevere in Jesus and in your calling and in the purposes of God alone. You and I need one another. We need the church of God, like we saw over the last 2 weeks. We cannot do this alone. We're not called to do it alone. And so what I did is I had a friend called France that found me just early on in the race and we ran together, and him and I were able to encourage one another. I've learned that God called us not to do this alone, but with others. And if you want to take hold of your God-given inheritance, I want to say this to you today, that without perseverance, you cannot walk into the promises of God. And so let's get into Hebrews chapter 10. And I'm so excited to unpack a couple of verses for us and to look at other parts of the scriptures to see how you and I can live a life of perseverance, of embracing the promises of God, of walking in the confidence that we have in Jesus. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32 says, "Remember those earlier days after you had received the light." After you become part of the light, after you came out of darkness and into light, he says, when you endured in a great conflict full of suffering. Friends, he's writing to believers here. And he's saying, remember your salvation. Remember what God did for you. Remember how God sustained you even though you went through tough times. Friends, sometimes when we face hard battles right now, and I don't know what battle you're facing, if it's a health or a finance or a relational battle or a family battle, I don't know if it's a church battle, but if you're facing a battle right now, I want to say to you from the heart of God, I want to say this, is that you can endure because when you look back, you've seen God carry you in the past. You've seen God be faithful in the past, and the same God that gave you victory over the lions and the bears is the same God that's going to give you victory over this giant, this uncircumcised Philistine, this illegitimate attack on your life or attack on that situation in your life. And I've learned this. I've learned that we can now persevere based on God's track record in our life. Verse 33 says, sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. Have you been insulted? Have you been persecuted? At other times, you stood side by side with those who were so treated. Friends, the writer of Hebrews is saying that you and I can persevere no matter what comes against us. We can embrace the call of God, the purposes of God. We can be confident in Jesus no matter what comes against us. And even if we endure great trial and great suffering and great challenge, Jesus is there with us. And we have the privilege not only for Jesus to be there with us and for others to be there with us, but also for us to stand side by side with those who are going through similar battles. Verse 34 of Hebrews 10 says, "You suffered along with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property." Listen, friends. He's saying you suffered with others. You didn't suffer alone. He says, even though some were imprisoned, you suffered with those. He says, and even if your property, even if you went, you experienced great loss. I don't know if you've lost a contract at work. I don't know if you've lost an asset. I don't know if you've lost a vehicle or the confiscation of your property. I don't know if you've lost a job. I don't know if you've lost a family member. But whatever was taken away from you, God's saying, you're not alone. Jesus is with us in the fire, and he wants us to be with one another, with him in the fire. He says, because you knew. Listen, this is how you do it. The way that you endure hardship, the way that you persevere. He says, you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. I love this. Listen to this, friends. You and I have better and lasting possessions. The earthly is going to come and go. The temporary, what we see here in life, is going to come and go, friends. Homes, cars, jobs, opportunities, money, it comes and goes. But we have lasting possessions. Lasting, everlasting possessions in Jesus Christ. We are storing up for ourselves treasures in heaven. If you're part of a local church and you planted here with us, you are storing up for yourself. Even for us, this church saying we want to have an international inheritance. We want to reach far and wide. I'm here to say to you, friends, you've got lasting possessions. Lasting possessions in Jesus in heavenly places. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 4 confirms this. It says, therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials that you are enduring. He's saying, we boast about you. And may they boast about us as a church, City on Hill Church. May the testimony about this church be that we persevere through great trials, through great persecution. Winston Churchill said, he said, if you are going through hell, keep going. If you're going through hell, keep going. I remember telling the church about riding off-road, like an off-road motorbike, and going through the mud going through a tough time, and how I learned that what if you are stuck, instead of getting stuck, instead of stopping, you just need to keep on moving. Keep on moving. Friends, Rory Dyer taught me this. He says you need to stay free and you need to keep moving. Stay free and keep moving. Put that at the bottom of your shoes. Stay free and keep on moving. Friends, do not stop. Keep on moving. No matter what you and I go through, just keep moving with your eyes fixed on Jesus. Romans chapter 5, verse 3 to 5 gives us amazing promise. Because sometimes we go through the stuff and we say, God, how can any of this be any good in my life? But God's got a way of using the most painful, the hardest moments in our lives for our benefit, for His glory, and for our destiny. He says this in verse 3 of Romans 5. He says, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings. Wow. He's saying we glory in our sufferings. He's saying because we know that suffering produces. I love that. 2 Corinthians 4 also speaks about the fact that we've got this glory. We've got this treasure hidden in jars of clay. And it says that our light and momentary afflictions are producing for us. They're working for us an eternal weight of glory. Look at what suffering produces. Suffering produces perseverance. So when you and I go through tough times, we actually experience God putting steel in our bones and in our spirit gets stronger. It says perseverance will produce character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. The Holy Spirit has been given to us. He's our ever-present help. He's our paracletos, our helper, our comforter, the one that guides us into all truth, the one that strengthens us, the one that lifts Jesus up, the one that reveals Jesus to us. And He's the one that empowers us because we have hope in Him. And that hope comes from having a character, the character of Christ, and that character comes through perseverance. And that perseverance is often a product of hardships and difficulties. I don't know what you've been facing. We've surely all been facing challenges worldwide. People are facing so much, they've lost so much. Could you go to Jesus today and say, Jesus, redeem my very hardships. I want to persevere no matter what I'm facing. It says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35, it says, so do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. Do not throw away your confidence. I am looking at friends and family, and I'm seeing how they are losing their confidence. I'm seeing how parents are throwing away their confidence because it's so hard in these days to raise children in the ways of God. I'm seeing how business owners are throwing away their confidence because of the political situation in many countries. I see our husbands are throwing away their confidence and they're not able to lay down their lives for their wives, and wives are throwing away their confidence and they're struggling to love and respect their husbands. I see how friends are throwing away their confidence. If you're in ministry, if you're ministering in the kids, among the kids, or in worship, or you're ministering among your friends or your colleagues, do not throw away your confidence. Do not throw away your confidence. Winston Churchill also said, he said, never, never, never give in. Never give in. Please do not throw away your confidence. You know what, friends? The enemy is out to get your confidence. The enemy is out to get you to give up, to stop persevering, to get on the back foot, to become very play it safe like we spoke against. The enemy wants you to throw away your confidence. Why? Because he knows if you lose your confidence, you'll lose your rich reward. And God has got a rich reward for us. And we need to keep our confidence in Him. If you get a knock, friends, if you get disappointed, if you go through failure, if you go through COVID like many people have gone, I want to ask you, if you've made a mistake, get back on the horse. Get back on the saddle. Get back engaging with God. If you've had a discouragement in church, get back involved. Friends, do not throw away your confidence. I remember I was 17 years old, and it was in the morning my treat to pull the car out for my mom out of the yard. In order to pull the car out, I just had to pull it out and start it for her. But this morning, I decided I want to go the extra mile for my mom, and I'm going to turn the car in such a way that she can just get into the car and she can drive off. But as I turned, I misjudged the nose of the car, And I bumped the post of one of the gates and literally put a dent in the car and basically bumped the car. And obviously my mom was furious and I was disappointed and I wanted to just give up and I thought I should never drive a car again. But the next morning I was given the keys again by my parents. And my mom and dad said, "You got to do this again." And I said, "But I'm wrong. And look at, I bumped the car." They said, "Listen, you've got to do it again. Don't throw away your confidence just because you've made a mistake. Get back in that car and reverse that car again. Do it again. Just because you failed yesterday doesn't mean that tomorrow is gone. You can do it again." I'm here to say to you, friends, I don't know what you've done. I don't know where you've made a mistake. I don't know who's hurt you. I don't know what you've bumped or what you've scratched or how you have disappointed yourself or others. My encouragement to you today is get back at it. Rise up again. The Bible says, though the righteous fall 7 times, he will rise again. Will you rise again to the call of God, to the purposes of God? Will you rise again to perseverance in faith and in the will of God? It says in verse 36 of Hebrews 10, it says, you need to persevere. That's where we get the title of our message. Not you have to persevere. Not you must persevere. Not it's a good idea to persevere. No, the Bible says you need to persevere. Friends, to need something and to want something, it's two different things. Want is a luxury. Need is a necessity. Perseverance is like air for my body to function and to live. And for my heart to beat, I need air. I need to breathe air for my body to live. Perseverance is like air to your faith. Perseverance is like air to your walk with God. Perseverance is like air to your destiny and your purpose on this planet and eternity. I believe that we need perseverance. He says, so that when you've done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. Friends, what I find with people is they don't persevere. And sometimes they persevere in their own will and they don't persevere in his will. Make sure you know the will of God. Romans chapter 12 says, let's prove the perfect, the good, perfect and pleasing will of God. We need to be able to engage with the will of God. What is the will of God? The word of God reveals the will of God to us. We need to persevere in the will of God. If God is calling you to purity in your marriage, that's what the Bible teaches. Persevere in that. If God is calling you to honoring Jesus when it comes to your finances, or to not gossip about people, or to honor everyone, especially those of the household of faith, or to do good to all, this is what the word of God says. If the word of God says, gather with the believers, do not forsake the gathering, then you need to persevere in the will of God. And as we persevere in God's will, guess what happens? We receive what he has promised. I think many people are missing out on the promises of God because they're not persevering in the will of God. And if all the promises, according to the writing that Paul writes to the church in Corinth, if all the promises are yes in Christ, all the promises of God are yes in Jesus Christ, and we get to say the amen to that, how do we say amen? Not just only with our lips. We say the amen with our lives, with our perseverance in the will of God. That's how we say the amen to the promises of God, by persevering in the will of God. And so you might be saying, Mark, I'm wanting God's promises. I'm here to say to you, persevere in God's will. Oh, but Mark, it's not easy to forgive again. Should I forgive again? They've hurt me. No, persevere in God's will. But Mark, you don't understand. Persevere in God's will. When you persevere in his will, you embrace his promises. Malcolm Black, when we were preparing for the series, he wrote this to me, and I wanted to quote Malcolm Black in my message. Malcolm Black wrote the following. He says, through perseverance, we enter into the promises of God. Through perseverance, we begin to receive our inheritance, both in this life and in the life to come. It is through perseverance that our faith is refined and tested, and God is glorified. Thank you, Mally, for that. Malcolm, that was powerful. Through perseverance, we embrace the inheritance, the call of God, the promises of God. Friends, on the other side of your perseverance lies the promises of God. I'm thinking of the Israelites. I'm thinking of them having to take hold of their promises. And God already gave them the victory. We know that God gave them the victory. They did not earn the victory, but Jesus went before them, and the battle belongs to the Lord. But the way that we embrace the victory is we need to persevere in the will of God. What did the Israelites do? In Joshua chapter 6, we see how the Israelites get invited in to be part of the miracle that God wants to do. And God says, I've given you Jericho. It's tightly shut. There are giants in Jericho. It's impossible. But all God wants is God wants us to cooperate with him. God wants us to trust him. God wants us to believe in him. God wants us to persevere with him. And you know what happens? The Israelites go for 6 days. They walk around Jericho once in silence. They're not allowed to shout. They are probably thinking, what on earth are we doing? It's day one. It's day two. And I'm thinking at night, they're probably discussing with their family, I don't know what we're doing tomorrow, but we're walking around the city again, quiet, doing nothing. Can we just do something? Can we just say something? And God says, persevere in my will. Persevere in my will. I'm amazed at how many people have given up because they stopped at 3 times around the walls of Jericho. Their Jericho, their victory, their promised land, they stopped after the 4th time or the 5th time, or maybe they stopped after the 6th time. But 6 days, the Israelites walk around Jericho. 6 days, they're just obeying. 6 days, they are persevering. And we all know that the number 6 is the number of man. And we know that God is saying, in your own effort and in your own strength, you will not be able to take hold of your promises. You cannot even persevere in your own strength. We cannot look to our flesh. We cannot look to our ability. And the Israelites walk around 6 days. But the 7th day, the Bible says that God said they need to walk around 7 times on the 7th day. I love that. Why? Because I believe 7 is the perfect number, the number of perfection. 7 is also the number on which God rested, the number of rest. So if I had to understand it correctly, God is saying, for the first 6 days, you're getting used to not trusting in yourself. You're going through a season of perseverance so that you can get to the end of yourself and you can get to the start of my glory and of my grace. 6 days, and that's why sometimes God allows us to, the promises to be delayed. That's why sometimes God allows us to have to persevere with that child or persevere in applying for those jobs or persevere with that business deal that we are doing. Why? Because God will allow you and me to get to the end of ourselves so that we can get to the beginning of him. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 12, he says, I'll boast all the more in my weaknesses, because when I'm weak, that's when I'm strong. Because God's grace is sufficient for me. His power is made perfect in my weakness. You know what happened with the Israelites? I believe the 6 days were days of perseverance in order for them to come to the end of themselves, so that when they stepped into the 7th day, they stepped into the day of perfection, the day of the number of God, the day of rest, where they would rest in the finished work of the cross, pointing to the finished work of the cross. And Jesus Christ, friends, was resurrected. My understanding, Jesus Christ was resurrected right after on the 8th day. He was resurrected on the 1st day of the week, right after this time of saying it's rest, right after rest, resurrection came. And so what happens is 6 times they walk around, and on the 7th time, they make a noise, a joyful noise, and the walls start coming down, and they experience great breakthrough. I want to say this, friends, that if you are persevering right now, be clever. Rest in God. Do not speak unnecessary, and don't take matters into your own hands. Don't be like Abraham that made himself an Ishmael, that created himself a problem because he would not persevere in the will of God. And he had to wait and then later on only embrace the promises of God. Winston Churchill also said, he said, success is not final. Failure is not fatal. It is the courage to continue that counts. It was the courage of those Israelites to keep on going back. That's what makes all the difference. It's the courage to continue in that relationship even though you got disappointed. It's the courage to say sorry even when you feel like you were right. It's the courage to engage. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 37 to 38 says, for in just a little while, see, we're going to receive what he's promised. Just a little while, he who is coming, Jesus Christ is returning, and will not delay, and by my righteous one will live by faith. Listen, friends, my righteous one, God, we are his righteous ones, and we will live by his faith. And Jesus Christ is the ultimate righteous one, and we are in Christ. We have a new life in him. It's no longer I that live, but it's Christ that lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. He says, I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. God is saying, I don't want you to shrink back. I want you to look to Jesus. I want you, God is saying, to look to the one that's coming back, to look to the one that will give you faith to persevere. Verse 39 says, but we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but we belong to those who have faith and are saved. I love this. Jesus Christ had every opportunity to shrink back. He had every opportunity. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he has said to the Father, if we can you take this cup away from me? But yet not my will, but your will be done. When he was on the cross, friends, no one took his life from him. He gave it of his own accord. He did not shrink back. They did not break his legs because he was dead when they came to him. Why? They did not take his life. But he gave his life. He did not shrink back. He persevered right to the end. Jesus Christ persevered, friends. And the reason why you and I can persevere is because he persevered. The strength to persevere does not lie in yourself or even in your self-motivation or grinding your teeth and white knuckles saying, I am going to do this. Friends, as beautiful as Nike is, you can do it. Just do it. I am here to say to you, friends, just do it in his strength. And just like some politicians have said, yes, you can. I'm here to say to you, yes, he can through you. Because you and I cannot hold on to ourselves. We've got to let go and release and trust him and hold on to Jesus as he holds to us. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 to 2 says that since we have this great cloud of witnesses, and we run this race with perseverance. We don't run this race just loosely. We run it aimlessly. We don't run it aimlessly. We run it with perseverance. He says we need to look unto Jesus. The way you run with perseverance is you look unto Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Watch this. Why? What do we look unto him? What do we see? The one who endured the cross. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. The one that went through the pain. Friends, perseverance is not about you and me getting to the other side or finding a detour, but it's about going through the pain. Perseverance is not about relying on self, but it's rather about relying on the one that persevered and endured for us. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5. My last scripture for this message says, may the Lord direct your hearts into God's love. May your hearts be directed into God's love and Christ's perseverance. Where do I find perseverance? Where do I find the strength to keep on going? Not in myself, not in books that I read from others. I might be inspired by others. Where will I find my perseverance? As my heart is directed into the love of God and into the perseverance of Christ. In the light of these scriptures, I want to leave four things with you, friends. Number one, let's look unto Jesus. Let's find our perseverance in the way that he persevered. Let's find our courage. Let's not lose our confidence. Let's look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Secondly, remember this. You and I, we have better and lasting possessions eternally. Thirdly, don't throw away your confidence. If you've lost it, pick it back up again. Rise again by the grace that Jesus provides. And lastly, persevere with Christ's perseverance in the will of God. William Corbett said the following, men fail much oftener from want of perseverance than from want of talent. It's not your ability that's so important. It's your perseverance that makes a difference. If you're far from God yet today, I'm here to tell you about a Jesus that persevered to save you. Will you put your hope, your faith in Jesus Christ? If you're close to God, I want to ask you, just there where you're watching, will you open your hands and just say, Jesus, I want my heart to be directed into your love and into your perseverance. I want to walk by your faith. The just shall live by your faith. Lord, I want to persevere by faith in your will and embrace your promises. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for joining us for today's message. Don't forget to check out our website or visit City on a Hill International on Instagram or Facebook for our updates, celebration times, or ways you can get involved. We are also streaming our message on Facebook Live, so make sure you join us or share the post. Thanks again for checking out our podcast. We'll see you soon.